as a part of that first reading where Moses on God's behalf says, you are to say this to the house of Israel, that you are a special people, my special possession, dearer to me than all other people. You shall be a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? He's calling the entire people of Israel a kingdom of priests. What did he mean by that? I want to go a little bit forward to where Moses has all the people still at the base of Mount Sinai and have, you know, brought down the Ten Commandments, and it's time to consecrate the people in the Mosaic Covenant. And first he calls forth, first, his brother Aaron, who's going to be established as the first high priest, followed by his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, followed by one each from the 12 tribes of Israel, establishing a ministerial priesthood that then gets added to by another 70 just a little bit later on. What was the job description, if you will, of the ministerial priesthood of the Old Testament? To lead the people in right worship of God through prayer, through the offering of all the sacrifices, through catechesis, teaching them the law of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, and then as they came along, from the teachings of the prophets that followed. So that then the people could do what? This leading in right worship, sacrifice, praise, thanksgiving, prayers of petition, prayers for mercy and forgiveness, all leading up to the entire people serving as priests to who? The entire nation and beyond. Remember, God's expectation when he called this people out and set them apart from all other nations was they might be, if you will, evangelists for all the peoples around them. So first he establishes the ministerial priesthood to minister to the people, to bring them the word of God, to lead them in worship, to lead them in praise and thanksgiving, and with prayers for mercy and forgiveness. But then so that they in turn might go out and through their lives be such an example of faith that the other nations around them would be drawn to find out, what does this people have? And with a desire to join and have it also. That's what God is doing here. So is there anything like that at all in the New Testament? Want a hint? Yeah. What's Jesus doing in this gospel passage? He's already formed a group of disciples around him, but then there's an event that's a little earlier in Matthew's gospel where he singles out Peter and tells him what? You are, and he changes his name from Simon to Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter is the New Testament first high priest. But then he's also got a group of 12, whom we heard their names all called out in the gospel passage. And a little bit later on, it goes to develop where you've got this one central core group of three, Peter, James, and John, the two brothers, sons of Zebedee. And then a little bit later on, Jesus calls an additional 70. You have the New Testament ministerial priesthood being established there. And the purpose of the New Testament ministerial priesthood, what do you think that is? And if you're not sure, I'm one of them. What do we do? We sit around all week reading, watching movies, drinking coffee, snarfing down donuts. No. What does the New Testament ministerial priesthood do? What did I tell you the Old Testament ministerial priesthood did? To lead the people in right worship, prayer, the sacraments, the sacrifices of the New Testament, which is the joining in and participating in the one perfect sacrament sacrifice of Christ in the Eucharist, along with baptism and confirmation, matrimony, penance, anointing of the sick. For what purpose? How many of you remember one of the things that occurs during the baptismal rite? I am assuming you've probably been to one if you have children, right? During the chrismation, when the top of the child's head is being anointed with holy chrism, do you remember the words that go along with that? As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as a member of his church. So, that calling out by God of the people of Israel in the Old Testament to be a royal kingdom of priests is now brought to its fulfillment in the New Testament, because now who's called to be a kingdom of priests? Okay, let's try this section over here. I mean you, and then this section over here. Yes, I mean you too, and you over here. Do I mean you? No, we don't want you. Yeah, you're included too, and so are you. All of us here, we have been made by these sacraments we have received into a kingdom of priests. And so my ministerial priesthood, the ministerial priesthood, is exercised primarily here. You are my mission territory. And if you're not from this parish initially or just visiting from out of town, wherever your parish is, that's your priest's mission territory, you. And we're called to do what? Again, offer sacrifice, but we're also supposed to be teaching you catechesis from not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament writings as well, and the teachings of the church, which you find all nice and conveniently collected all together in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, promulgated in, I think it's 1982, by Pope John Paul II. Because as the kingdom of priests of the Old Testament were called to basically go forth and evangelize, what do you think your job description is? My mission territory is here to sanctify and prepare and strengthen and teach you, because your mission territory, you're called to sanctify the world in which we live. As they were meant to have such holy lives that were shaped and formed and fashioned by the sacrifices of the Old Testament and the teachings of the law of Moses and the prophets, we are called to sanctify this world, you, in your mission field, which starts off with, notice what the instructions that Jesus gives them as he's sending them out. First, do not go to the pagan and Samaritan territories. Go forth first to who? You know, short-term memory, right? Their first instruction was first to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who is that today? How many of us have family members who have fallen away from the faith? Don't raise your hands, but you know, how many of us, we have families who don't practice the Catholic faith at all anymore? These are the lost sheep of the house of Israel in our day and time. And then, bringing them back into the fold, we also have the task of bringing the gospel literally everywhere we go. You are first meant to sanctify your home. Husband to sanctify his wife, a wife to sanctify her husband, parents to sanctify their children, and then where the family goes, like husbands and wives, if you have a job, you're called to go and sanctify your workplace. For those who are in school, from preschool through university, your mission field is where you go to school. When we go to the grocery store, when we go on vacation, no matter where we are, we're called to take this with us out there and transform the world first by the example of our lives. They were meant to be such a holy living people that it would draw people to find out, what do you have? That's no different from today. We are called to live such holy lives, lives so transformed by the sacraments and the scriptures that people look at us and they go, what have they got? How we handle our struggles, our sorrows, our sufferings, the challenges that come into our lives, how we handle them. Do we do it with hopefulness, or we just give up and throw our hands in despair? We're called to have a hope, right? It's one of the cardinal virtues, faith, hope, and love. And it's meant to make a change in us so that we go out and make a change out there. Again, you know, I say it humorously, but that dismissal at the end of Mass, go forth, the Mass has ended, is not the equivalent of gentlemen, start your engines to see who can get out of the parking lot fastest. It's a commissioning of what you have received. Now go out there and give away. Taking every opportunity that God sets at your feet, give all of this away. It's needed in our marriages, in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools. In secular society, in the entertainment industry, in the news industry, everywhere, we are meant to have a transforming gospel influence on this world. The choices that we make have consequences. And with all of this, we are meant to make better choices than the world around us. And especially today, you know, where's one place where it's so critical that we as Catholics live our faith out and use our faith in making the decisions that we choose to vote for? Everybody says, you know, separation of church and state. No, that's why it's such a mess. Because we don't bring our faith with us into the voting. What kind of people are we voting for? Now, they don't get into office by accident. Somebody either failed to vote for someone who was morally and intellectually competent and moral, or we just let people slide in who are morally incompetent and who have a tremendous negative impact on the world. Literally, again, our faith is meant to have an influence on everything we do. Because our mission, mine here, you out there, is to bring the people of this world in to Christ, to bring them home, to help them join us on the journey to the fullness of the kingdom of God. And it begins by all of us exercising our priestly ministers, ministerial and priesthood of all the baptized to its fullness, because we are all being filled, catechized, nourished with scripture and sacraments, especially the Eucharist. Don't waste it. I will repeat that. Don't waste the Lord. Don't waste His word. You have been and are being given an immense gift of grace, not to hold to yourselves or just leave behind when you go out of the pew, but to take with you and be a visible blessing in this world.